Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the WTF1 podcast. My name is Matthew Gallagher, and joining me is
Tommy.
Dan.
Oh, I was hoping you were going to say Jess.
That's not just my name.
But you could have been Jess just for that one moment. Anyway, hello and welcome. We're going to talk about the 2019 Russian. No, we're not. I wrote it's there, and I was like, that's wrong. And I still.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
The Japanese Grand Prix. And, well, we didn't even know if we'd be sat here today talking about a Grand Prix, did we? Because, well.
I forgot how to sit this morning, so I might have had to stand.
That wasn't what I was quite alluding to.
It was really?
More the Typhoon Hagibis. Is it Hagibis?
Hagibis.
Yeah. I don't know. But either way, let's do some three-word race reviews from the Japan. I wrote Japan Grand Prix, the Japanese Grand Prix.
Yep.
Fans, Matty Johnson 17, worth waking up. Daniel Orr signs fifth again. Fabi6_, Lewis, it's James. And Vincent_photographer_, wish it rained. A few different three-word race reviews. Obviously, a lot of these guys, especially the ones from Europe, would have been very tired probably watching these races and maybe a little bit grouchy. But it seems like everyone's at least half happy with it, although wish it rained. I think we all thought it would probably be raining considering there's a typhoon in the area, but
it was strange seeing the pictures of Japan afterwards and it, you know, just having beautiful blue sky, and you wouldn't have known the chaos that had occurred. I mean, they packed pretty much everything down, and I was concerned that they would probably not do qualifying, because essentially you have the Thursday where they're setting everything up. Friday they did practice. Friday evening they obviously packed everything down because the typhoon was hitting, and they had to repack it all again. It could have quite easily, you know, them putting the two things on the same day was a bold call, but
it has to be done, doesn't it? You can't just have flying around, especially when they're temporary structures.
It was nice for once as well to see them being proactive about the decision and not just sitting trying to do qualifying in a typhoon. Like people just talking for hours and just wondering, oh, well, after sitting for 3 hours and watching this, it's been postponed to tomorrow after all.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they actually made a decision before Saturday.
Yeah, like a lot of, was it COTA a few years ago, that you knew there was going to be this horrendous weather and they delayed it. Everyone was sat in the stand. It's still raining. Shock, they're not going out. It's getting worse. It's wetter. Wow, they're still not going out. Who would have thought when it's raining still? It's just, of course, that's going to happen.
Of course it's going to happen. And Dan, Kimura t-shirt, loving it.
Yeah.
Whereabouts did you get that from? And once you do that, I'm just going to go turn the aircon off because I don't know if it's being picked up on the microphone.
Let me do that.
What's the Kimura shirt from?
It's from the Kimura website. Would you believe it?
This is not in any way sponsored by Kimura, by the way.
No.
Oh, that's a lot quieter
now. And he's back in the room. Hello and welcome. Right, Dan, let's talk about your three-word race review because I think it tees us up nicely.
Yeah. Super Sunday rocks.
Why does Super Sunday rock, Dan?
Because I really enjoyed, even though I had to get up at 2 a.m. and then stayed awake for far too long, I really enjoyed having qualifying in the race on the same day.
Yeah, I didn't get up for qualifying, nowhere near.
Didn't get up for the race either, did you?
Well, I thought I had. but I told myself it was 7:10 rather
interesting.
Than 10:06.
We went for three different strategies then, because I got up for qualifying, went back to bed, and then got up for the race.
So we
split our strategy between the three of us.
Well, I went for the no stopper, so I should have some sort of penalty or something.
Yeah, I went for a one stop.
And I went for a prolonged one stop. I went onto the hard tyre. I don't know. Either way, so at @CFC_Craig says, should qualifying in the race be on the same day? For Japan, no, please don't, because 2 a.m. I mean, we kind of had the struggles of what people in Australia have every single race weekend.
Yeah, so we moan about it like once or twice a year, but for a lot of fans, that's like 18 races a year. Like
that. Yeah, and the majority of ours is 2:10 or 1:10 in the afternoon, and it's really not that bad at all. But for me, yeah, definitely. I actually really enjoyed, again, like this whole just action-packed Sunday. It was, it's almost like, you know, Super Sunday, like football, you know, it's big games, and, you know, you can watch one game, then another game. It's like watching qualifying, then the race. You know, you had two things to look forward to.
I really enjoyed the jeopardy of it as well. So like qualifying, it didn't just matter for the grid, because if something happened and like we saw Kubica and Magnussen crash, it was like, oh, how's that? Is that going to affect their race?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like at Monaco when you have FP3 and it's a critical session, because if you make a mistake in that, it affects your qualifying. I felt like it was kind of the same sort of thing with qualifying in the race the same day.
I mean, it adds jeopardy, but I think at the same time, obviously one of the, I don't even know what the main reasons are for not having qualifying a race on the same day. But for me, if someone does crash in qualifying, I wouldn't want them to miss the race because of it.
Yeah, I mean, they used to have a warm-up back in the 90s, but that was when they had spare cars and things that they could jump into.
T-cars.
Yeah, T-cars. For me, personally, I saw a lot of people praising it. I wasn't massively sold. I do like the idea, but personally, I still would rather see practice ditched. I'd rather than... So I saw a lot of people saying, oh, I love this format. Let's have practice on Saturday and then qualifying in the race on Sunday. I like that Saturday has, you know, a big thing. And if you want that those benefits, just get rid of Friday. Because as we've said so many times on this podcast, the racing's better. I mean, I'm a huge F1 fan. I've followed it for a very long time.
Have you?
Absolutely love it.
Oh, so, really?
Yeah, shock.
I would never.
Shock. Who'd have thought?
Sorry, you're the founder of WT1, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God.
But I just don't enjoy practice. It just doesn't do anything for me. I just don't like it.
I love how you've turned around the question of should qualifying a race be on the same day too? I hate practice, get rid of it.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, you know, that I'd rather them get rid of that than try and squidge the qualifying and race on the same day just to get into this 2-day weekend.
Yeah, to be fair, I like the fact qualifying's on Saturday because it is a race weekend then, isn't it? It's you have something to look forward to on the Saturday and you have something to look forward to on the Sunday as well. And I think that qualifying a race takes up a lot of your time as well. Like you're kind of hanging around, especially if the qualifying is on at 12 p.m. and then you've got the race at 5. You're kind of just like, oh, well... Do I go out? Do I not?
I never go out. It's not a problem for me.
But I guess it would also be quite a long day for the spectators as well if you're going to cram in that and then also the support races and everything else. That would be, I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, despite all the kind of very, the big backlash from a lot of fans and drivers that seem to not be happy about F1 trying to mix up the schedule, personally, I would quite happily see the odd race.
Yeah,
so, I think you know, different weekends. You've got 22 races next year.
Yeah.
I'd happily, you know,
if you have a qualifying race at some
next time there's one race where they don't do Friday practice, the next one maybe they put them on the same day. Yeah,
keep
I'm
it
happy
fresh.
To. Yeah, keep it fresh. Mix
like
it up
a mystery
a bit. Why
box.
Not?
They don't know what they're actually going to get until they get there. Oh, we're having 5 races on Saturday and no races on Sunday. Practice on Sunday.
It was quite funny with the with Saturday being cancelled, F1 showed the 2005 Japanese Grand Prix where Kimi wins from 17th on the grid. And I went on Twitter to tweet something.
Went on Twitter to tweet something.
Wow. And I noticed that someone had already put it, so I didn't actually end up tweeting it. But it was, I think it was Glenn Freeman from Autosport had tweeted it and had exactly the same idea that was, them showing that race is almost like reverse grid propaganda to to like get all the fans to go, oh, actually, this is a brilliant idea. All the rubbish cars are at the back. And all the best cars are at the back, and it's an amazing, amazing race. So I don't know.
Interesting. Well, so are we a fan of Super Sunday then in general? Or I wouldn't like to see it implemented for every single race.
As the occasional thing, I would enjoy it. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, for the ones that maybe not 2 a.m. starts for us. You know, maybe it's a 12 and a 4, just occasionally.
Right.
You know?
Why do you hate Australia so much?
Because it's early. Really, really early. Right, Tommy, 3-word race review. Talk to me.
Bottas' favour returned.
Now, when you were writing this, I thought Bottas' blushes spared would have been so much better. What do you think, Dan? Which one was better?
I think Tommy's is better.
Right.
Get out.
saw some reaction to this again. People going, "Oh, you Hamilton fanboy, and you, why do you hate Bottas so much?" Which I'm sure Jess will appreciate.
You saying that?
Saying this because I basically put this on my Twitter that there's no denying that Bottas deserved the race. He was absolutely brilliant. He was back to this 2.0 Bottas. Like, he had so much pace, got an amazing start, but Hamilton. There's no doubt in my mind that Hamilton could have won that race by staying out. And if he had, Mercedes would have finished 1-2, not 1-3. Yep. So although it's a difficult decision for Mercedes because it would screw Bottas, he's driven this amazing race, and then everyone would be with their pitchforks going, why are you screwing Bottas all the time? They would have got a better result, in my opinion, than if they had hadn't pitted Hamilton. And also, there's no doubt in my mind that if Rosberg was still the title challenger, there's absolutely no way Hamilton would have pitted.
No, not with... Obviously, yeah. He's got a huge lead in the championship, and it's something that he can afford to let go. But obviously, we had a lot of insight from AWS Insights and their amazing tyre graphic, which was quite possibly the least insightful thing I've ever seen.
Was there a question about that later? Should we just jump onto that question now?
I mean, if you can find... Yeah, at SebiStrut99, do you like the new Tyre Life graphics? I honestly hate them since they are really in no way reliable. It's... clearly, it's another way for AWS to get their... What noise was that? AWS to get their sponsor stuff in, which, fine. Okay, they're thinking of new innovative waves to inform the fans. But unfortunately, there's no informing actually happening.
No.
It's more of a case of... Right, so we've spoken to Pirelli, and they say that these tyres will last X amount of laps, and the rears are going to degrade more than the fronts, and maybe the left side more than the right side.
Exactly.
So they've just gone, okay, Hamilton is catching Vettel, which we saw on the soft tyres. Oh, was it soft? It was soft, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But his rears are on 10%.
That's exactly what I wrote down in my notes. It said that Hamilton had 10% on his rear tyres, and Vettel had something like 40, and Hamilton was going like 2 seconds a lot quicker than Vettel. The fact that they are just essentially, I don't like that graphic because they are essentially just guessing it. And regardless of how good a driver is on their tires and how bad they are on their tires, it's always going to be the same information. Yeah. So someone might have brilliantly saved their tires, gone for this massive long stint, and the graphic. I wonder if someone does that, the graphic will be like, you've got a puncture. all four tyres are on. Apparently, no, you've actually got no tyres left. They've disintegrated and they're on fire, but you're
Well, that's going to happen at some point. If they continue with that and they'll just cut to a car that then just gets a puncture and then it goes 80% tyre life.
that's going to be
What did you make of it, Dan?
No, I didn't like it. I mean, I get why they're doing it. They're trying to sort of give more information, but the information is misleading and it's not correct.
Yeah, because they've clearly extracted it from the F1 game and gone, this is exactly what F1 game players see. Let's put it in the race. But there's no real-time
it's just
data
made up.
behind it.
No, it's just machine learning estimates based on data from 3 days ago or however many, whatever, I don't know.
Because we know how accurate Pirelli are with their estimates. Not at all. They go, oh, this softs can go 15 laps, and then they go 25, and it all comes down, as you say, to the driving styles and things like that.
Yeah.
So
exactly. The amount of times that they've promised two stop races and huge tyre deg, and then Grosjean does 50 laps on the super soft or something.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, he would have been a minus 70% sure
if that
graphic come up for that. But back to the Bottas thing, I agree with you. Hamilton could have easily won that race, I think.
Yeah.
Because he was pushing, and I remember the team radio when he came in, he was like, right, push now, and he was like, what do you think I've been doing for the last 15 laps or whatever? But if he's managing his pace a little bit more, 100% he could stay out. I reckon Bottas would have probably caught him.
Because I forgot you didn't put any notes on your screen, and it's just a picture of Alan Partridge eating a Toblerone.
It just
caught my eye, and it just made I couldn't stop laughing.
Do you want to show the camera, Dan, to people
we'll flash it out.
I can.
There you go. Boom. But back to my point.
Great content. Sorry.
Toblerone. God, Tommy, you're so distracted. I think that Hamilton probably would have been under pressure from Bottas, but he wouldn't have finished third.
No, I think by pitting him, you basically said, right, Hamilton, you might get Vettel for second, but you'll probably finish third.
And we literally need to save Bottas.
But just from a team perspective, and then if they'd left him out, it would have been, this will probably be a 1-2. You're not going to get. You might get caught by Vettel, but you might not. So
I did see on Sky, I think it might have been James Allison was at Breckley. I think they interviewed him afterwards. And one of the reasons which, like, to be fair to Mercedes, they said, you know, if they'd have done this, Bottas may have been catching Hamilton. And it just gives them, when they've already pretty much won the constructors' the driver's title is stitched up, gives them like unnecessary stress when Bottas is going to be going, you know, you've screwed me. There'll be both the drivers will be arguing. Bottas might want to go for a move on Hamilton, might get a risky move, and they crash into each other. So
it was the safe option.
They played it very safe, basically, and they were lucky in the end that Hamilton got the fastest lap point
to win. Well,
just to win. I know they were going to win it anyway, but it secured it. So.
Yeah, interesting, but a bit disappointing because it wasn't.
Would have made it a better race.
Yeah, it wasn't exactly the most interesting battle for the lead. Obviously, Bottas just checked out, and Vettel was kind of slow, especially towards the end of his stints when the tyres started to go away quicker on the Ferrari than they did on the Mercedes. But yeah, I kind of sat there going, hold on, so Bottas is going to have to overtake Hamilton for the win. Because originally they had told him that, hadn't they? They said, Bottas, right, you've pitted again. Hamilton's now going to stay out. You're going to have to pass him to win. Wasn't it something like that? I mean, if I was Bottas, I'd been like, huh?
Because I think, I know Bottas was, obviously drove absolutely amazingly well. But I think, I feel like Hamilton was led to believe he was on a one stop. So he wasn't exactly going hammer time every single lap. So,
interesting.
And if you look at the people that did do a one stop in the midfield, it was all the midfield drivers that had a good race. So Sainz, Ricciardo, Gasly. So it was very much possible. I think the commentators at one point said that, I haven't got the exact number of laps, but I think it may have been Sainz. They said maybe did 29 laps and all Hamilton had to do was 31.
Right.
So it wasn't going to hit the cliff.
Yeah, I remember seeing sort of towards the end of Hamilton, just before he pitted, the gap from him to Sainz was quite similar. So I don't know if maybe the Mercedes was hurting its tyres more or if Hamilton was just saving more at that point.
Well, speculation, but I think
just like the graphics.
Yeah. Right. My three-word race review now was Wake Up Stewards. I actually commented that on the Instagram post that we put up every single race.
Of course
weekend,
you did.
Saying, you know, whatever your three-word race review is. And people got very angry with that. But I think they were just misunderstanding what I really was meaning. Because I think people actually thought I was complaining that Charles got a penalty. And that's not the case at all. It was more the fact that just wake up and make some decisions and make the right ones as well. That clear as day right ones, some of them anyway. I know Tommy has a differing opinion on one particular incident, which we'll get into. At Smid Sujuki, what's your opinion on the stewards' decision to investigate the Leclerc-Verstappen incident after the race? Now, for me, I didn't like any of the process that went on with incident. For one, it's absolutely clear as day that Leclerc has wiped out Verstappen.
Yep.
Like, there's no way that you go, okay, it's a racing incident. Verstappen's turned in on him or anything like that. I know
he couldn't have left him more room on the inside.
And I love the team radio when Verstappen gets told that there's that stage one, there's no investigation. and he genuinely, you could hear in his voice, he was absolutely perplexed as to why it wasn't being investigated. And I just love that sort of brutal honesty from his team radio. So obviously, first stage not being investigated, and then obviously they've seen the backlash from the teams and everything else and gone, okay, we probably should investigate this.
Apparently the reason for that, I read today that an investigation was reopened because of new evidence.
What, they opened their eyes?
yeah exactly. Because you watch the replay, you saw Leclerc clearly got some dirty air from Vettel's car and understeered straight into Verstappen. What more? I think this is something you said as well, and we've said in so many podcasts. If that's the case, what does speaking to Charles Leclerc after the race do? Absolutely nothing. It's his fault. That's it. End of
it. Those kind of incidents, you don't need telemetry or anything like that to be able to make a decision.
It's probably
just
the point
decision
of the driver stewards that are up there to go, yes, this is what's happened from a driving perspective. And then the stewards.
Yeah, otherwise, what's the point of having the driver representative steward?
Yeah.
Because they should be a racing driver that can put themselves in the driver's shoes from a non-biased perspective.
Yeah.
Because are you telling me that Charles, to his credit, said, I messed up, I ruined Verstappen's race, sorry. But if Charles had gone, oh, I didn't do anything, what are you talking about? Would the stewards gone, oh, no, you didn't actually, did you? No. That's fine. Well, you didn't crash into
him. When you drive for that red team, apparently you have a bit more assistance than others. But ooh, yeah, it is not me. Other people claim it.
Yeah, I know.
FIA, Ferrari International.
And then when Mercedes win, they're the favourites. And then when Red Bull win, they're the favourites.
Yeah, whenever there's a pattern emerging. Advantage in inverted commas. But yeah, because then we had the 20 or however many laps it was where they were under investigation.
I don't understand this. I mean, other series, so for instance, like the DTM, I'm pretty sure sometimes I've seen the graphic come up saying incident under investigation before the incident actually finished happening. And then within like a lap, they make a decision.
Yeah.
The penalty is taken and then the race carries on. By delaying it the whole race, that affected the way Ferrari might have run their race if they'd known he'd got a penalty for it sooner.
Exactly. Well, yeah, and exactly that. They pitted Leclerc for the fastest lap, which then put him within striking distance of Carlos Sainz, oh no, of Danny Ric. So, for me, I just don't get it, because however many laps
it should
it was,
be
and
sorted
then it's after the race
in the race,
and for something so clear as day, I just don't understand what
I can
what
understand
they possibly have wanted.
Last two, three laps that you need to do it after the race, but lap one of a race. It's an like, hour and a half long race.
If they were stewarding Le Mans and an incident happened on the first lap, would we have to wait a day to find out what happened?
Yeah, so it's true. Insane.
And Juan Pablo Montoya made a really good point in our latest YouTube video where he was saying about how the stewards react to different incidents depending on where they happen on the track in terms of position-wise. So near the front of the field, they make an enormous deal out of it. If that's Grosjean going into the side of Perez, Grosjean's getting a 10-second penalty before he's through turn four.
Yeah.
Like, there's all 50. Yeah. It was only 5 seconds that they gave Leclerc as well, for absolutely destroying Verstappen's race.
I do slightly understand that, though, because they've always been a bit more lenient on the first
on first lap collisions, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think the thing with Leclerc, I think the 5-second penalty was fair. I don't think it should have been a harsh penalty, because essentially he got understeer. I know his responsibility, it was a mistake from him. But it is a bit different on the first lap.
Yeah, so I understand, but I think it was a bit of desperation in there as well. Yeah, because he'd got a terrible start.
Yeah, I knew it was going to happen. Yeah, as soon as I saw them going side by side, I was like, there's going to be contact here.
And the fact that it's Max and Charles, they've got a bit of beef this season, and they're really trying to one-up each other as being the next superstar, aren't they? And it's showing every time those two are wheel-to-wheel, whether they're crashing or what, something's happening.
Exactly. At F1aholic says, why are the stewards so inconsistent? Technically, you could argue that they are consistently inconsistent. So what?
I don't know. I wouldn't say. I think this race is a bit of an anomaly where they drop the ball a little bit. I've said it in quite a few of the recent podcasts that I do like the approach that they're going with.
Let this go,
Albon. But I do like that they've done that.
Yeah, and I like the fact that they're allowing them to race. But I guess obviously we had that whole inconsistency when they did change their approach. But that was from, I guess, the people that didn't really understand that they had changed their approach. So they're going, why did Vettel get a penalty for this? And then, you know, there's Monza and all that controversy. But yeah, I know what you say, like the stewards drop the ball, but why are they dropping the ball? They're the F1 stewards. They should have a clear-cut system. Rather than, I guess, because it's the thing of like, okay, this collision gets a 5-second penalty, which they decide in three laps. Why does something so clear as day as Charles versus Max have to take a whole race? Like that's the inconsistency that just shouldn't happen. They should have to make a decision. And people, I know the argument is, oh, well, we don't want them to make a decision that's wrong. But the rules are there. Look at the rules, go, okay, he's hit him off, penalty.
Maybe because they were doing qualifying as well, that they were just like tied at the end of the day. Like, I've already done qualifying. Do I have to really steward this race as well? Come on.
I am aware we are ranting a little bit, so I apologise. But I think people like us ranting, especially against the stewards. And what I also found weird was that they then decided to slap another 10-second penalty on him after the race for something completely different, which was to do with his wing coming off.
Yeah.
Driving a dangerous car, which I didn't realise was under investigation anyway. I thought it was just the incident, no?
It sounded like there was confusion between Martin saying that Ferrari said they were going to pit him, so that's why maybe the stewards didn't give him the black and orange flag.
Yeah.
And then And then Charles was very adamant that he was like, no, it's fine, we'll carry on.
Yeah, but then obviously Charles can't see the damage from where he's sitting, so his car feels okay, so he doesn't want to pit because it will ruin his race. Yeah. And then he's told to pit again on the second lap, and it comes off. So then maybe Ferrari think,
well, yeah, that's when Ferrari came over.
Well, the damage is gone, so carry on. Yeah, but then they were told, no, you've got to pit him.
Which was
that was scary as well.
That, I did not feel comfortable watching that.
No, that was awful.
No. Especially when you've got such a high-speed track in the last sector, and it came off, obviously, going down the straight into Hamilton's face, pretty much. And you look at, I've said it in IBR, which you guys wouldn't have seen yet, but, you know, you've got incidents like Massa, you know, of where a small spring, wasn't it, that came off Barrichello's car?
Yeah, exactly.
And hit him, obviously, he was very unlucky, but this is a massive piece of end plate, which is flapping off. Ferrari would have seen that immediately.
Yeah.
But and I guess it's not down to them,
is it?
Even
if it hadn't come off, the wing could have failed and then he could have just understeered into the wall at 130 yards.
Yeah, it could have been like a Vettel in Bahrain. You know, it could have gone under the car or whatever.
Yeah, and if you're doing that into 130R, that you're going straight into that wall, and it's pretty... Yeah, you could have an absolutely horrendous accident. And also, I know they've got the halo, but that doesn't stop it. I mean, the halo, the way it's shaped, it doesn't cover everything.
Especially if it comes in at an angle.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It could have been awful.
It could have been. And I was sat there going, this is going to be a disaster. And especially when, I know it's a glorious...
Okay, we are...
Okay, hold on. We need to walk around a second. Okay, we're back in the light now. And I think we were all in the same kind of opinion that wasn't cool.
No.
And I think, for me, the steward should be on the phone immediately going, you have to pit. They look at that, they go, that's dangerous, get in the pits. Because especially when you've got that clip, I remember now that's what I was about to say, where obviously very impressive, great, you know, Charles Leclerc going 130R one-handed whilst holding his wing mirror down.
Yeah.
That in itself, I mean, come on, you're going in the pits, please.
Yeah.
Because that wing mirror, that could fly off into the crowd. That could fly off anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wasn't cool with that. So 10-second time penalty was the very least, in my opinion. Agree. Dan, do you know, because me and Tommy don't, do you know how many points he got for the whole thing?
I'm not sure if Leclerc got any points.
Did he get any points?
No. Strange, though.
Because usually they do.
Probably because it was a first lap penalty, I think they went a bit lenient on it.
Okay.
And the damage thing, I think they were more annoyed with Ferrari than...
For not calling their driver.
Yeah. Right.
But to be fair, he did disobey them a little bit.
But then they
changed their mind. If you listen to the team radio...
Well, yeah, he was like, I don't want to come in. And then they said, come in. And then they went, no.
And then he said, no. And then he said, no, actually do come in. And then Ferrari were like, no.
Yeah.
It was chaos.
Yeah.
Okay. Another interesting little Ferrari incident that we need to talk about, which has caused a lot of discussion. I say discussion in a very loose term, usually just throwing insults online. But at XY Tricks, does the jumpstart ruling need clarification? It seems Vettel only got off because of the transponder. When to the human eye, he clearly jumped the start, even if he immediately stopped. I know that we're of differing opinions in this room, so this should be an interesting little tussle. But for me, it's an odd one because you sit there. I didn't actually notice it really when you had the straight down the line.
Oh no, you couldn't tell from that, could you?
But a fan video was the thing that kind of hit me as it's a bit dodgy. What is going on outside? I don't know if you're getting any of this.
No, you probably won't show up.
But it was the fan video where you can see how far he's gone forward. Even though it doesn't really look that much on the point of view camera, you can see how much he moves forward, stops, and then goes again. Now, I know it's within the rules what happened. But for me, I still think that should, if it isn't at the moment, be a jump start.
I agree with you on that I know it's the rules and there's all this sensor stuff and transponder. If you roll in your grid box, surely you should get a penalty because what's to say you don't just start slightly behind it, roll forward during the lights and then go?
Yeah.
It just seems odd to me when it's so obvious. It wasn't like the Bottas one in Austria where it looked like as the lights went out and it was really close, he moved when there were five red lights on.
Yeah.
So
I think it's completely different scenarios. But Dan, you have a slightly different opinion.
You can't say that you've going to penalise a car because it moves before the light's gone out, because otherwise you'd be getting probably penalties for some driver or another at every single race, because when drivers engage the clutch or different start maps, the cars will roll to varying degrees. So there's got to be a tolerance in there to allow for some movement. I'll admit that the amount Vettel moved and stayed within that tolerance surprised me. Because
so when you first saw it, did you think that would be a penalty?
I did think that would be a penalty. Yeah. But the FIA have that tolerance and they don't say what it is, because obviously if they say, oh yeah, you're allowed to roll 30 centimeters
they'll do
or
that,
move
that.
For two turns, yeah, okay, everyone will fair. Start doing it.
Yeah.
So for them to keep it a secret is fair enough and not want to explain too much into why he didn't get a penalty. Whether that tolerance is too big maybe needs to be looked at, but I think if the FIA say that Vettel didn't jump the start according to their rules and their data, I think it's just a black and white issue and you can't really...
It's maybe something that, say, like, you know, the somewhere in the midfield that might happen in a few races.
Yeah.
But the fact that it's such a high-profile thing where the driver on pole has moved, I think that's brought this issue into the...
Yeah.
You know, into this big discussion.
Yeah, because I don't think... We wouldn't be losing our minds if Robert Kubica at the back of the grid as well did it and had a little roll.
I would, because he wasn't on the grid. He was in the pit lane.
Okay, well, fair.
Wow.
All right, thanks, Dan. can always rely on you.
There's something quite interesting, actually, when F1, just recently, I've just watched F1 shared a video of the start, and I've got a theory of Bottas's
Ooh,
start
hello.
That watching it, if you proper, like, pause play, like
freeze
frame it.
Yeah.
I'm entitled to believe that Bottas reacts to Vettel and that's why he gets such a good start. So he sees Vettel go, who obviously moves just before the red lights go off.
Yeah.
Bottas sees Vettel moving and Valtteri goes and the lights go off literally the millisecond as he moves. So it's almost worked perfectly for Valtteri that he's seen Vettel move, almost like reacted because he's seen the car in front go. And the lights have changed at like the perfect time.
So how is that not anticipating the lights or seeing?
Because he probably the there was probably
enough of a delay,
like the Austria one, where there's enough of it's done on human, like a physical
reaction
human
time,
can
right.
no not react within 0.0000, but they can react within 0.0002,
yeah.
even though it's very unlikely.
Yeah.
So even if you do that,
you're still not
and anticipating you're not jumping the start. It's an
interesting.
Odd one.
It's a very, very strange ruling, but it's not something we'll probably speak about.
Yeah, much. It's one of those problems that comes up and everyone's confused and outraged, but it'll probably never happen again.
That's
the
problem,
several
though.
Years.
It happened with Kimi, literally the race before.
That was a proper jump start.
Yeah, he rolled
one.
A lot.
Yeah.
Obviously, a lot forward. Of people were comparing the two and going, what's the difference? But the difference was Kimi's absolutely gone out of his grid box, past the transponder.
Yeah.
thing, and that's the difference between why he got a penalty, a big one, and Vettel got nothing.
Yeah.
So, right, moving on. No more moaning, maybe.
Well,
let's talk about the next incident, which was Albon. He had a great race, I'd say, for him. Not in a horrible way, but in terms of P4.
It's a good weekend, yeah.
He had a bad start, losing two positions to both of the McLarens, which he doesn't seem to be very strong on his starts, does he?
I think that's just a Red Bull thing in general, and the McLaren seems to be particularly good at the start as well.
Yeah. So he fell behind both McLarens, but got past them. One of them was an interesting move. At Mariam_HC says, Albon deserved a penalty, right?
No.
And this was when he went past Lando.
Yeah, I don't think he did.
Not
I think that was that was a strong move.
Yeah.
Yes, it was like borderline, but it's been... It was a move that within these new stewarding regulations, if you like, so after what Verstappen did to Leclerc in Austria... with his, you know, banging wheels, they're giving a little bit of leeway for these forceful moves. And I, you know, they banged wheels on the side. It wasn't like Albon on an F1 game used him as a brake and rammed into the back of him to get
like
the move.
A little
bit.
No, he
did
bumped on
a
the side,
bit.
And I think he would have made the corner.
Yeah.
And I think Lando himself didn't actually put too much complaint in. I don't know whether that was because it's Albon and they're proper chums. But
I mean, I saw them in the interview pen and they were like bantering a little bit, but I don't think Lando would really have been like, well, what the hell are you doing? If that's for the lead, I guarantee that's a completely different story.
Yeah.
And Lando
but
would be
I
on
think,
the...
I
he
think
was
Lando's...
on the phone anyway, wasn't he, saying, blah, blah, you know, he pushed me off the track.
But there are quite a few quotes from him afterwards that said, like, that was a pretty ballsy move and fair Fair enough. Yeah, it didn't really affect my race.
To get a penalty for it after the race. So.
Interesting. Yeah. I thought it was just over the line. I thought it was close, but I think that I felt it was a little bit too hot. I think he went in a little bit too hot, personally, for me. But it didn't help that Lando didn't see him coming, which obviously accentuated the incident a bit more.
I think that's part of it, because he turned in and didn't realise until literally there was no more room for him to turn in. I think if he'd have seen him a bit earlier, then Albon would have still probably completed the move.
Mm. Yeah.
I think Lando would have had to go off the track, though. That's where it's... If he had gone in a little bit slower, maybe fine. But for me, a little bit just over there. I just a 5 seconds. That's all I'm after. Not stop and go.
That's what I want to see from Albon, though. I think that's what Red Bull want to see.
And that's what
Red
Bull
wants. He's going for it.
Yeah.
For sure. I just felt that one was just a little bit too hot, personally.
Agree to disagree.
Yeah.
It's fine.
We're allowed to have differing opinions, right?
Internet. That's what learn happens. From this.
Yes. Differing opinions. I respect you. Okay, next. Slight confusion at the race end, where we had lap 52 of 53 being the end race results. At Mars_NV, where did Perez finish with two ends? He's not finished with one end. Come on. What the hell was that ending? I mean, care to explain, Dan? You're the F1 guru. What happened?
The checkered flag on the timing system, not the actual flag, the timing system flag was displayed one lap sooner.
And so I love how they've introduced this to hopefully stop having
it's the
light, isn't it? There's a little square that they have the safety car and yellow flags and things, and the checkered flag came up on that light.
Yeah.
As well as that's obviously mad. The timing.
Yeah.
So they have
because
to
for
go
some reason the checkered flag has this weird power in F1 where if it comes out the race has to end on that lap.
I guess I understand.
A human
that.
Can't go, oh no, actually there's a lap to go.
But so then I guess a marshal trips up on lap two, picks up the flag and like kind of just waves the flag.
Oh my god,
that's
imagine.
It. Lap
imagine
two,
that.
Like science is in second.
No, but
or something,
everyone would be disqualified because no one's done their mandatory pit stop.
Oh. And yeah, no one has classified.
So who
no
win?
Points. Yeah. I mean, it is such a weird one. It happened in Canada. When Winnie Harlow,
yes,
but
that.
To be fair to her, she was told to wave it a lap early.
They probably said to her, "You need to wave the flag."
Yeah.
She's gone. Okay, now.
And also it happened in China as well. It's happened quite a few times recently.
Years and the series as well. It tends to happen at least once a year in time.
And I think it's so noticeable the fact that the results go back, and then this one, the fact that Perez has finished, has essentially crashed into the barrier, and then. Takes a cheeky ninth place.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's naughty, but I can understand why they introduced that rule, because if anyone's race is hindered by even 1/10 of a second, they'll go, well, you threw the checkered flag.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Because if
they can't go over the radio, don't worry, stop, no, keep going.
It's probably a rule that covers them in case a driver sees it, slows to a stop.
Yeah.
Loses the race.
Yeah, exactly.
Imagine if Leclerc had got fastest lap there and taken the title
taken the constructors' title to the next race
round, and then
Ferrari
they went, no, actually, we
Ferrari
screwed
obviously
up.
Obviously, have 1-2s for the rest of the season with Mercedes not scoring one point. Right, we're now on to Tommy. Do you have the jingle ready?
I have actually. I've got it right here.
It's almost like I told you.
Yeah, we didn't even have to cut away or anything.
Play the. Yeah. Lovely. Every single time. I absolutely love it. Right, ABCDEF one time. Let's rate some drivers. Let's start with Mercedes. Let's go straight in. Lewis Hamilton.
C,
yeah.
C.
Complained a lot.
A lot
qualified
of
by
he
Bottas.
Just an angry man.
Outraced.
It was a little bit like we haven't seen that Lewis for a while where he goes into that sort of everything going against me. Why are we doing this mode?
Yeah, really questioning, like really, really questioning his team decisions.
It's not just questioning it; it was questioning it. Then it was, I want to hear why. Tell me why.
Yeah, can we just talk about this for a minute?
It's mad
Let's
how we
have a chat.
It's mad how they're. You just think about it; they're racing at 200 miles an hour, and then he's like, "No, can I get an explanation?" Just whilst he's flying through the S's, like, "Can I just get a little, just quick explanation if that's all right?"
You know,
it's absolute madness. So C, okay, let's go with the C. Valtteri Bottas, A.
A, yeah.
Yeah, I'd go A.
Not A star, but A.
Yeah,
A,
yeah.
Because
yeah.
he didn't qualify great, but he beat Hamilton in qualifying, and then...
I was just thinking whether it was like a perfect
jump the
race, but...
He did, oh, I guess he did jump the start. I mean,
anticipated
had a good start.
The start. Yeah, is an A. Yeah, let's go for A.
An A. Yeah. Okay. Ferrari, Sebastian Vettel.
Say a B.
A B, yeah. I've got B on here. Epic qualifying. He's very good around Suzuka, but I was surprised at how he just couldn't, after he lost the, you know, position to Bottas, how he was just nowhere.
Just Ferrari just didn't have the pace.
Yeah, there was just never a moment where you thought Ferrari
would have been
in the race
if
after that start.
Had stayed in the lead on the first lap, that would have made it quite an interesting race.
Yeah,
thing.
Yeah, would definitely. Would have been all over him. But then if Charles was out of the picture, he wouldn't have won the race anyway. Yeah, Mercedes would have just done some strategies and won with Hamilton probably.
Yeah.
I'm inclined to give Vettel an A purely because I think the Ferrari wasn't there in race trim, and he did absolutely everything.
He out-qualified Leclerc for the first time in ages as well.
Leclerc and kept Hamilton behind on lap 51 when he was all over.
The only mistake he made was that start, I think.
Yeah.
Yes, maybe an A is fine.
Yeah, I think, yeah, okay. Yeah.
Oh, overturned. I love it. Absolutely love it. Charles Leclerc, D.
D.
A D, yeah.
I mean, it's difficult because obviously he had a decent qualifying, got out-qualified by his teammate, but was second. But I don't know. I mainly leaning towards a C purely because of all the overtakes that he did and the racecraft behind it. I know that he's in a better car.
Only one
Suzuka
of those overtakes was good. The one on Gasly and Spoon. Yeah, the rest of them were just meh.
Yeah,
but he was using his racing knowledge in the sense of like getting out of the slipstream to make sure he gets a better run out of the hairpin.
It was a solid recovery drive.
He did a good move on Gasly.
The Gasly move was very good, yeah.
And then he did a good move on Raikkonen into 130R.
That's not, no.
That was ballsy.
Nothing that happens at 130R is impressive.
I mean,
wow.
Okay, that's a big statement. Raikkonen was like 2 inches away from his rear wheel as well. I swear that they were so close when they went through 130R. Like it was
brave. Like I know, in the grand scheme of things, you know, whether it's a corner, whether it's not, it's not even 130 degrees anymore, is it?
No,
it's not.
130R. All right, let's give him a D because he drove around with damage as well. Not happy. Red Bull, Max Verstappen.
I think it's a non-applicable.
Not. NA rather than a U, because U is bad.
Is bad.
And NA is
it's
not
just,
applicable.
We can't
rate
him. So we'll average him out on that graphic.
We'll give him an A star purely because of his start. That's it. it's not an A star for anyone making their tables, because I know there are people out there that are creating these tables, Olympic tables. So we give him an NA. Alex Albon.
A B.
Yeah.
God, guys, can we stop agreeing, please? This is weird.
I know, but B, I think he was.
I would have said he messed up
his start. I think the fact that he.
I would have said an A, but he was a minute behind the winner at the end.
Oh, yeah, it's not an A.
Yeah, it's definitely not an A.
He wouldn't have been as far as a minute behind.
And
he would have finished sixth.
It was his best weekend at Red Bull so far. It was a good.
Yeah.
That's the thing. We
I
say
agree.
It's the best, but then we look at. I think he was more impressive in Belgium because.
Oh, probably because that was his first one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And no one expected him to do it.
Yeah. Whereas in this one, he literally would have finished sixth, probably 30 seconds behind everyone else.
He's doing everything that Red Bull want him to do.
Yeah.
Now. So be fair enough.
As you made that meme, which was about qualifying and
and
stay.
We need you to max. Max.
Match max. And he literally exactly the same time in Q2? Q3?
No, Q3.
Q3, but first run.
But, oh, no, Q3. That was the same. Because he said it after he was sixth.
So close.
So close to qualifying.
Renault, Daniel Ricciardo. Great drive, A.
No, B.
B, because qualifying.
His qualifying was dreadful.
His qualifying was dreadful, but he finished seventh.
Yeah, but that doesn't excuse
sixth. It's a Charles penalty.
Yeah, it doesn't excuse the qualifying, I don't think.
But he was absolutely banging things in. He had a great start. A great start, great stint.
I guess, I guess if we're giving Albon a B, his drive was a lot better. And I know he did mess up qualifying,
and
but I guess you have
Renault
to prioritise the race.
Which technically might be a car that's cheating, so maybe we might have to change this to an ungradable.
I think his drive was really good. And I like the fact as well that Renault did the whole give Danny Ric a go now, and he was like, don't worry, I'll get them.
Yeah.
And then did. I mean, fair play. In fact, I think it's an A just for that radio message.
I'm liking this power of them. I'm like, I just want to suggest this to the table. And you're like, I accept your feedback. Let's change it. Nice.
We're having a constructive,
maybe,
you know,
fun. We are.
A debate.
No fun, is it?
We're
we need to argue more. Right, Nico Hülkenberg. B?
C? Where did he got a good start, didn't he? That was quite a mega start.
15th to 10th, so that's not
his start was lit.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
He went round
the start? I don't think I've seen the start.
He went round the outside of about four.
He got a great
people.
Start and then genuinely had an absolute car width and no more going past Giovinazzi, I think, going into turn one. And it was wince-worthy. But yeah, it's great. And he went all the way around the outside. And then, yeah, he gained like five positions in the first lap around Suzuka.
B.
Haas, Romain Grosjean.
Where was he?
He qualified 10th and finished like 12th, I think. He was sort of 15th.
He finished 15th.
No, did he? I thought
he must have dropped back at the end.
Like all the Haas.
I feel like he did a good job this weekend. Put the Haas in Q3 and he's normally quite good at Suzuka, so I'm inclined to think he probably got a fair amount out of the car. Plus, he built a Tyrrell P34 on his day off, which has got to be worth a grade up as well.
Oh, we're not giving any grades for what they did on their day off.
I don't know. We have done that before. C
at best, I think. If we're going to go, let's go.
Yeah, I don't think you've got to give him for qualifying. Yeah, Kevin Magnussen.
We can't give him a B for 15th. Kevin Magnussen finished 17th.
D, if that.
D, yeah.
He crashed in qualifying as well.
Oh, E.
F.
Yeah.
If Grosjean's getting a C, Magnussen needs a lot worse a grade because he.
I think he even admitted himself that he had a rubbish weekend.
McLaren. Carlos Sainz.
A star.
What more could
Where did he
do?
Yeah. That's, I wrote this actually and said A star. No. Epic start. Nearly got Hamilton.
Where did he qualify? Seventh?
Sixth.
He must have been seventh.
Sorry, seventh. Seventh. And almost got into third?
Fourth.
Yeah.
Yeah, fourth. Because it'd been Vettel, Bottas. Sorry, Bottas, Vettel, Leclerc at the time. And then
Leclerc had the problem. So yeah, almost got into fourth. Perfect start. Made his one stop work. He actually had such good pace that it stopped Leclerc from going to, like, basically giving up. Leclerc gave up his charge to kind of catch Sainz
because
Sainz had such good pace. Otherwise, Leclerc wouldn't have pitted for the fastest lap.
Right, yeah.
Because he just gave up on that. He was
mega
on form.
Amazing. And yeah, he is driving so, so well. He is one of the drivers of the season. Consistently really good.
He's the best midfielder by
a while. Absolutely.
A star.
I think both McLaren drivers, in fairness, have their weekends where they just check out.
Only one of them seems to have a good weekend at once. The other one's having
yeah,
like,
really. Yeah,
you don't
so
see those two really racing each other, do you? It's either one's been hit or whatever. So it's crazy. Lando.
He couldn't make his tyres last. I know he was really unlucky because he got screwed by the debris.
Yeah,
he actually
stuff in his brakes, right?
Yeah, why he had to pit.
From Leclerc.
Yeah.
So from that flying off, he had to pit. It wasn't anything to do with the Albon incident. He pitted just coincidentally straight after that. He's just been very unlucky. He does have good pace and he's not that far from Carlos, who's doing an unbelievable job.
Yeah.
Even the start, he was unlucky where I think he got a better start than Sainz and he was going around the outside just slightly ahead and maybe would have had the inside for the next corner, but because Verstappen and Leclerc crashed, he had to back out and then Sainz went past him. And yeah, it's just a bit unlucky, really.
Difficult. So,
C.
C.
Okay. Racing point. Sergio Perez. He was doing all right.
He kind of like
finished ninth.
It's kind of like Ricardo, really. He had the terrible qualifying and then a really good race.
Yeah.
It was kind of like.
Ended up in the wall, but still finished ninth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he did do it trying to go around the outside of Gasly at turn two, which is if you're going to crash out, that's a good way to go, I think.
It's a good way to go.
Maybe. Ooh, oh, there's my.
Up.
Huh?
You with your water.
Can you timestamp that for the audience?
B?
B for ballsy.
Yeah, I'd go for a B.
Okay.
Maybe Perez saw the checkered flag light
and was like,
it doesn't matter now.
Yeah.
I'll get this position regardless. I'm going to just go for this outrageous
for
move around the outside to just please the fans.
Yeah.
Well done.
Lance Stroll, C?
I'll say C.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought it was funny how Stroll, everyone said he's a bit of a Sunday driver because he's really bad at qualifying. And then they did qualifying on a Sunday and he got it into
Q2. I think it was like 12th, was he on the grid?
So and Perez was, what, 19th or 18th, something like that?
Yeah.
I love that.
Finally, Sunday, he can qualify.
He has his
reason
and he's absolutely ready. Alfa Romeo, Kimi Raikkonen.
D. But D for both the Alphas.
I don't remember seeing them in the race at all, pretty much.
No, Alpha have just dropped off.
Yeah, they have dropped off because they were really quite impressive, especially with Raikkonen in the first half of the season. But it seems like Giovinazzi has come strong. The car's got worse.
Yeah.
And so has Raikkonen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an odd one. But I think Giovinazzi, for me, has proved himself in the second half of the season to at least have another year.
Yeah, me too. Mm.
Yeah. Would you agree, Tommy?
Yeah, I would.
You kind of went...
No, I agree that he's a better prospect than Hülkenberg as well.
So we're going to go for C.
Sorry, we won't carry on with that. Maybe next podcast.
God, that's a whole podcast in itself. C's for Raikkonen and Giovinazzi?
D's. Did Giovinazzi finish ahead of Raikkonen?
No, he's 16th.
Okay, so D's.
D's for both of them.
Pair of D's. Toro Rosso, Danny Kvyat.
D.
D.
He was just nowhere, really. Especially when Gasly was so impressive.
Gasly. Yeah.
Massively.
Which is crazy. What is going on with Gasly? So what are we going to say for Kvyat?
D.
D.
Where did he qualify, Kvyat?
Like 14th or 15th or something.
I was like, 26th? No, that's his race number. 14th.
Yeah, really impressive.
Yeah, 14th and finished 12th. Just okay, let's go not great.
Pierre Gasly.
A, I think.
Yeah, definitely an A.
Solid A. Where did he qualify?
He qualified ninth, so he got in Q3 and just raced at the
date there, pretty much.
Raced at the front. Yeah.
Really good.
Fair play to him.
All right. So we'll give a B to Gasly.
A to Gasly, yeah.
Williams, George Russell.
Oh, God.
How do you rate him?
How do you rate him?
How do you ever rate these people?
His fastest lap was a second quicker than Kubica, if that's anything.
Kubica was one lap of fuel on soft tyres as well. And
like, do you give him an A and Kubica an E, or do you give them like C and D?
I think it's a
B. A B for Russell.
Solid B. Can't get wrong with a B.
Yeah.
And then a C for Kubica.
Oh, no, worse
F.
For Kubica. F.
F.
He binned it in qualifying.
Yeah. F.
And personally, I'm not a fan of how sort of bitter this is getting between Kubica and Williams about him complaining about his wing and why did they retire me with this from the last race.
It, lad.
Like, you know, it should be this nice fairy tale story that he's come
four
back.
Four races left. Try and
enjoy the rest of your F1 career.
Or just let someone else have a go.
They're not even fighting for points. Just enjoy racing for the last four times of your career.
Yeah. Odd.
Okay, predictions for Japan. This is what we went for. So I said Charles Leclerc 5 poles in a row. Close, but no cigar. What were you going to say?
I thought we were doing predictions for the next race. I was like,
No, that's not happened. No, this is for Japan. So that was half a point, Tommy?
It's close, isn't it?
No, just with
I'm looking at how if I can get half a point for anything.
No, we can get half a point. It's not half a point for Charlotte Leclerc, five poles in a row, because we're not going to do that, because Jess will kill us on the next one. Verstappen will crash at some point during the race weekend.
Yeah.
Yes, that's a full wholesome point if I've ever seen it. Jess, you went for someone will try a ballsy move through Spoon.
Yeah.
Good work, Jess.
Yeah,
that's definitely a point.
I think Hülkenberg was one of the best moves through Spoon. I feel like he made a ballsy move.
Yeah. Okay. And the Rugby World Cup will be mentioned. Now, I don't think it was Rugby World Cup. They were playing hand egg in the pits during Saturday. No, Friday.
Mm.
But I've heard that they were actually talking about Australian rugby or something.
I think they used the Rugby World Cup hashtag or something at one point. One of the teams did. So,
well, she's not here. So what do we do?
Just give the points to Dan. She doesn't get them.
Yeah, she's not here. By the way, just if you're wondering where is Jess, she just couldn't be bothered to come on the podcast because Bottas won. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It made her ill.
It literally made her. She's been off sick since Bottas won. It's, that's not true, just so you're aware. But I'm sure Jess will be back and want to clarify why she was away. But it wasn't because Bottas won. Tommy, your two?
Both Toro Rossos were in Q3.
Wrong.
Half.
No.
Half of
them. Just because one was. No, you said both.
Yeah. And a fan will show up dressed as a Red Bull can. They didn't.
0 points for you.
No. A few people sent me some pictures of someone dressed as Red Bull can. I think it was from like 6 years ago or something.
You're like,
it was
like half. Okay, and the fan said Charlie Base 18. Well, they didn't say that. Charlie Base 18 said Giovinazzi outqualifies Kimi again. Yes.
Yeah.
He did?
He did.
Yeah. It's a point. Gameaholic for the win. No Red Bull on the podium.
Yes.
Yes.
Wow.
Elliot Wardle 4. There will be multiple Land of the Rising Sun references by Crofty.
No, he said it once.
That's not multiple.
So you didn't specify.
But
come on,
did,
guys,
he
remember.
They said
he overused his
okay.
power.
Right, so 2 points for the fans. Good job. Right, predictions for Mexico. I have gone for Ferrari to make it 6 poles in a row.
Is that your prediction every week?
Oh, well, I'm still on the Ferrari / Charles. Danny Rick will have some Mexican-style facial hair. He's had a beard at the moment, so I reckon he's going to work.
Shaped like a taco. Yeah.
Sorry? No.
Yeah, I know what you meant.
Dan, you have submitted 2 in 4, Jess. What are your two?
A midfield team will finish 4th.
Which sounds like a Jess prediction to me. Just standard basic, just going for the points. No, I'm joking, to be fair. I mean, let's hope not. And the other one?
That there'll be some kind of ridiculous, really cheesy celebration after the podium.
Well, that's basically like, Mexico, isn't it? I mean, we've had a couple.
Like, you know, they'll have like one of those machines that they have for children outside of supermarkets, like a fake Budgie the Little helicopter, and the winner will be forced to ride it on the podium.
Okay. Can we say you don't get a point if it's a DJ like last year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're going to go, it has to be something different. To be
the exact. Whoever is beeping outside, can they shut up? Thank you. So if that example that you've just...
Yeah. Can I win the whole podcast?
You win 1,000,000 points.
Okay, right.
You get unlimited points. And I'll Tommy, your two?
Hamilton won't take the title in that race.
Okay.
He will win the title. That would be a bold claim. there'll be some fans with, or at any point in the weekend, Mexican wrestler masks in F1 liveries.
Okay, fair, nice. Okay, and the fans, GPR Burns, a random celebrity will congratulate Lewis over the radio if he wraps up title number 6, which you can pretty much guarantee there'll be someone. Nick eating pizza, someone will wear a sombrero with a halo on top.
That's a good one like that.
And Mansa Hedge S, no Renault on the grid.
Oh,
spicy.
We haven't actually mentioned that, so Racing Point lodged a protest against Renault.
They lodged it.
Renault.
Hard.
They lodged
big,
it.
Hard lodge of protest. That was like
with a 12-page document or something.
12-page
was it?
Dossier.
Yeah,
a dossier. That sounds even more scary. Yeah.
What makes it a dossier?
The level of severity.
Okay. Yeah. I thought it might just be that it's in a ring binder.
You wouldn't have like...
No. When you save the file rather than .doc, it's .dos.
.dos.
Oh, yeah. MS-DOS.
MS-DOS.
Microsoft Dossier.
Good bants.
Yeah. We're recording this on Monday, by the way. So if. By the time we release tomorrow or whenever, and they've been disqualified, we didn't know about it.
Yeah. Hope you have enjoyed this WTF1 podcast. And the lovely Dan as Jess's replacement. Not a replacement. You are not even a substitute. What are you? What's a good way of saying that you're not a replacement?
A substitute.
Okay. Jess is equal. There you go. Is that? No, that's not right either. Right, cool. Thank you so much for watching / listening. Make sure to give us a 5-star review no matter where you are. And that's pretty much it.
Smash that like button.
I hope you've enjoyed the longer podcast as well. We've heard you. We've heard you loud and clear. And I hope you've pretty much got over an hour's worth of content. So make sure you give us some love. If it's a like, if it's a subscribe, if it's a 5-star, if it's a comment. Any of those. All of those. Okay? Thank you so much. We'll see you in under 2 weeks for the Mexican Grand Prix podcast. And Dan, it's been lovely having you. Tommy,
thanks for
as
me.
Always. You know,
wow,
you're still alive. And I'm Matt. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.